let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, by thy grace, we have come together this morning on this day which we set aside to gather together to worship thee, to magnify thy holy name. Lord, may it be truly as the hymn that we have sung, that from our hearts, or from our hearts, that our thankfulness would be shown. So, Lord Jesus, speak thou to each of our hearts, and may we listen to what thy Spirit will lead us, as we have sang also in the hymn, that thy truth, Lord, reaches everywhere, as far as the heavens extended, so thy truth, Lord, goes forth. And may it in this day, O Lord, wherever it is spoken, go forth in its power and its simplicity, that, Lord, we all would know thy will, understand thy will, and love thee with hearts that are pure before thee. Abide with us, bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's reading and meditation, I desire to read from chapter 58 of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. Ljubazni želim da se pročita iz proroka Isaija 58. glava. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall they break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor seeking thine own words, Then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. May God bless our... In the closing of the prayer, it was mentioned that it is only by our giving of the entirety of our hearts unto our Lord that we can really feel and know his blessings. And as we read this chapter of Isaiah, as the brother prayed, it made me think of David, who says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Because we all, dear ones, today have a sense of comfort, a sense of doing, a sense of presenting ourselves to the Lord as we have gathered together this morning. And we find the same thing is taking place here in the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah, the prophet, is being called to speak to Israel. And he's being told, lift up your voice like a trumpet. And that would not mean that he is to yell and be loud, but rather that his sound would go forth, the sound of truth. So, because it is only through truth that this nation or man today can find his way. And he says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, show my people their transgression. Who is his people? What is their transgression? And we see it, when we read verse number 2, we have to look at the church or an individual, we as individuals today, as we have come together, he says, they seek me daily. He's speaking of, he says, speak to the people that are seeking me daily. And every day, they are not lax in their prayer. They pray, they seek God. They seek me daily. They delight to know my ways. We have come together, dear ones, this morning, and we do delight to hear doctrinal truths, things that to hear of the salvation, of the story of salvation, Jesus Christ and who he was, is, remains, the surety of who he is and so on, and what he has done for us. We delight to know those ways. We're no different than Israel was. Seeking him daily, we pray to him. We seek his ways, delight to know his ways. And it says, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. All of the ordinances of God, they delighted in them. They delighted in keeping the ordinances that God had established of sacrifice and so on. They kept them. It was their way of life. And so we have to look at ourselves too. In light of the word, we have to always look at ourselves, as David says, search my heart, know me. Reveal thy will to me is what David is saying. Let me also see my ways before thee. Because this people here how are they going to know that they are entirely lost as they seek God? Every day, they delight to hear of him. They did not forsake the ordinances of the God. They seek the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. They take delight to come and to pray to God. They approach him. And so it is, dear ones, we today love to be in the light of God. But when it came to precepts, that the people were given, his precepts, those they rejected. When it comes time to do something, you know, it's easy for us. It really is easy. And even that becomes a burden when we think of what else I could be doing that would be more satisfying to the flesh. But we want to appease the spiritual man. And so we want to delight in his ways and come to church and partake of services and prayers, worship. We take delight in those things because we know that God is pleased with those things. But when it comes to his precepts, we shun them. We do. We shun them. And so we like to define liberalism as an act. And liberalism will be defined as something you did, something you're doing. That's liberalism. These people were an extremely liberal people. As they worshiped, delighted in his ways, basking in the light, God says, get out of my light. I'm tired of your ways. He says that in Malachi. Even after the Babylonian captivity, the nation did not rid themselves of a false worship. And so he says here, sound your voice like a trumpet. He says, and not only now are they, are seeking, God sees these things. He sees what they're doing. And he sees that they have a smug contentment with their worship of a holy, holy, holy God. And they now say, wherefore have we fasted? Why are we fasting? They're now becoming judges of God. Why have we fasted, they're saying, and you don't see? You don't see what we're doing. Why? Because they don't feel the blessings that they feel they deserve from God. And so now they've become judges of God. And they say, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? You don't even recognize and take any knowledge of what we have afflicted our soul with. And he goes on, he says, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. God is answering now. And dear ones, you know, when we pray knowingly that we must give our entire hearts unto God, but we don't. But we don't. Because we will put off for another day to give that portion of our heart to our Lord, being content with giving what we've given to him. God says, get out of my light. You do nothing for me. You don't love me. Being liberal is one word, really, having no love. When you have no love for your Lord, you are liberal in all your ways, no matter how orthodox your religion is and how regimented we become in what we do. We are as liberal as can be. We come together, but we might be cursing like pagans. We might let our eyes wander upon lustful things that would cause us to blush in shame if we were to be seen. And we're going to say that we can put that off for another day, though we acknowledge. And we're fasting where God didn't even ask us to fast. God didn't ask them to fast here. They're fasting, seeking the blessings. They want the blessing. Give me the blessing, Lord. I want the blessing, just like Esau. Give me the blessing. Esau, it's not that he couldn't repent because God was not merciful to him. It's because he was seeking the blessing. Let me please the flesh, Lord, and still receive the blessing. He forsook the blessing for the moment of the pleasing of the flesh. Now, we're not going to do it for a pot of stew. What do we do it for? What do we please the moment of our flesh, of our will, our desire? What do we take to forsake the blessing of God to receive that moment? We're no different. But we're going to say, give me the blessing. Look, I'm fasting. Look what I did. Look. Get out of my light. I'm tired of you. Can we believe God in all his mercy and love? A love that sent his son. His son offered himself as a sacrifice so that he could redeem us. So that we could have a real relationship with him. He can take us as his sons and daughters. He did that for us. That he would actually tell us, I'm tired of you. I'm tired of what you're doing. And we say, well, it might not quite be like that. Well, what did Jesus tell the church in the book of Revelations? A church that was on the outside perfect. Perfect. To the human eye, we would look and observe, now that's a strict church. That's how we should be. And Jesus is on the verge of spewing them out of their mouth. Why? Because they were liberal. How? You lost your first love. You don't love me. Now try to define my life as being strict or liberal. Let's now try to, in the light of, do I love God with a love that gives my entire heart to him, a love that will forsake all sin, all transgressions, will repent readily when recognized, when the light of the word blazes into my eyes and heart and mind and soul. When it blazes into me and I recognize how wretched I am. When I come to him in repentance and confess my sin before him and I change my ways, that's repentance. And God loves to see a heart that turns to him. He will not shorten his hand. He will forgive. He will bless. But the blessing may not be the visible blessings that we want to, or that we have come to expect. That was the wisdom of God in the Old Testament. That was the wisdom of God in the Old Testament. We are not to question it. We are not to question why were the patriarchs so rich in all of their holdings, what they had, and the thousands of sheep and oxen and the various things. We're not to question those things. God was showing external blessings through his patriarchs, through his people, through Israel. The blessings of God. Nowhere in the New Testament do we see that. Nowhere. We see the absolute opposite of that. If we're going to consider blessings as being materialism and material things, dear ones, we're looking for things that we will never find, or we will misconstrue and think that we are a blessed people by the things that we are able to accumulate. We're going to count that as my faithfulness, my blessing. That's nowhere to be found in the New Testament. And so he tells them here, is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Is that what the fast is? Just get sackcloth and ashes under you? And I'm going to say, whoa, this is a holy man here. This is a man that is after pursuing me in my ways. Look, he has taken the Sabbath and set it aside. Is this the fast, he's saying? Is this what I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Will you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? And so then God answers further. And he says, this is the fast that I... He says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? Okay, now he's saying, this is what I have chosen. To loose the bands of wickedness. To loose the bands of wickedness. You notice here, there's nothing about worship. There's nothing about, it's all about sin. Loose the bands of wickedness. Undo the heavy burden, the yoke of sin that is upon us. I want to undo that yoke. To let the oppressed go free, that and that ye break every yoke. Everything that is binding, everything that is in your heart that is not releasing itself, that is not that you're not releasing to give your entire heart to me. This is the fast that I'm asking for. This is what I want from you. Give everything that you have to me. Your whole being. And so he says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Because a heart that loves the Lord will never let someone go hungry. Cannot. And that thou bring the poor that are cast out. You're going to bring them to your house. The ones who are the castaways. You're going to look upon them as the Lord looked upon them. But the Lord didn't only look upon the castaways in the sense that they were poor. Not just because of their poverty that I'm going to bless you. He came for the oppressed, the ones who were in sin, the ones who had no way out, the ones who were not the elite in the elite group of the Pharisees, where the Mosaic law had completely degenerated into Phariseeism. That's all it became. Phariseeism. The law of God, that's what it turned to. And that's what Christ came to bring to us and to bring the oppressed, those who were castaways, who had no chance, no hope. And they listened to the words of Jesus. And they listened to him. And they flocked around him. Who did? The ones who were oppressed. The ones who couldn't get anything from religion. They came to religion, and the religion rejected them. They had no hope. They came to Christ, and suddenly there's a hope for them. Dear ones, in Christ we have hope. But in that hope, we can't just bask in the light in the sense of, I'm here, look. No, we have to look, what is my fast? As a matter of fact, in Hebrews, it tells us. It says, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest. This is into his Sabbath. That's the word that is used here. Let us fear. Listen to what the apostle is saying. Let us therefore fear. Does that make us fear? Does that make us say, oh, that's not for me? Surely that's for him or him. We smugly say, yeah, I fear, but I'm good. Let us fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We can fall short of entering into his rest, into his completed work. He rested. This is speaking of Christ after he had given himself, had the perfect Lamb of God, gave himself for us, for our sins, and ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father. And we enter now into that rest. Careful, he says. Fear so that you don't come short of entering. In other words, your gatherings, everything you're doing, fear that in those gatherings, that you're not serving me at all. Fear that you may have left your first love. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. So we are together here in a large number. Who is this speaking to? The word preached did not profit them. Is there anyone here? Will I say to myself, this word, not the speaker, the word is not going to profit me. If it doesn't, it's because I've chosen, because I've rejected him. That's it. Why? Because it's not mixed with faith. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And that's exactly what Apostle Paul tells us in Romans. Romans 10, he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, my dear friend, as you've gathered together here, the only way faith can come about is to hear the word. Not to hear me or the other brother, not to hear me or anyone, but to hear the word. And the word then must bring about faith. You must believe. And then when you believe, you will love. And when you love, you will fulfill. And you will be a strict Christian. He says, for we which have believed do enter into his rest. And he says, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Fear lest you would come short of that, entering into that rest. And so, dear ones, as we read this, and you know, if our own sins come to us, and if we feel that, okay, you know, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do? Are we going to have a resolution, like a New Year's resolution type of thing? We're going to have a resolution today that I will deal with my sin. And what does dealing with my sin look like? What does it consist of? What does it mean? Oh, I'm going to go and confess my sin. And then in a month, when I see I failed, I'm going to go confess that same sin again. And I'm going to keep confessing that same sin over and over again, as if we are priests, where we can just forgive one another our trespasses. That's not the point of confessing a sin. That's not what God is asking for. When we confess a sin, we have turned from it. We recognize that this is the wrath of God upon those who do not believe. And we say, well, wait a minute now. Are you saying I need to be perfect? When sin comes before me, when the pages of the word are before us, and we see that we are those who gather together, but we will leave this place. And we might even have a conviction in our heart right now. You know, we could have you, our dear friend, who are sitting here say, I am convicted by the word of God, and I will now today make a steps towards God. And you're absolutely sincere in your conviction. You're sincere as can be. I believe you're sincere. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we are all sincere when we say, okay, I realize my failings. I need to change this. I need to repent. To repent, we have to understand what that means. Victory through Christ who strengthens me. It's all about victory. It's not about defeat. We are not defeated day in and day out, live defeated lives. We need to live in the light by being the light. We must be the light. How can I or you, my dear brothers and sisters, be a light if we can be looked upon for our transgressions and said, look at you. Look at you. What are you preaching to me? What are you telling me? Look at your own life. It shuts our mouth. And the powerful word has no meaning coming through our lips. When our lives betray our testimony through word. And so Isaiah is telling the children here, your lives are betraying that which you are professing. It's a complete betrayal. And then you're going to judge God and say, where are my blessings? Why are you not blessing me? Why have you allowed us to be defeated? Why this? Why? And so we see, dear ones, that they were entirely deceived. Entirely deceived. Just like Ananias and Sapphira were entirely deceived into believing that they could portray themselves as a certain, what in their mind they established is a high level of Christianity in the church, in the early church, which that was the first sin that we could see that entered into that church, the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. It was far more than just being that they lied to the Holy Spirit. It was far more. They lived a life of Phariseeism, hypocrites, portraying something that they entirely are not. We're going to portray ourselves as living on this level. Meanwhile, they're groveling in the dust. And they don't know. They don't know. Why? Because the love of something which is not Christ, which is not Christ, became greater than Christ. And so they could not suffer the loss of those things to know him. There was, you know, we have to, when we read the word, feel convicted. What are we going to do with that conviction? Are we going to change something in our life? And are we going to change it only because of, well, I'm supposed to, because the church in Laodicea did, this nation did, they did, but God didn't see them. He didn't recognize them. He didn't hear their prayers. He didn't hear their prayers. And so he goes on, he says, he tells them what is the right way to fast. And then he gives the promise that he gives. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. What is our light? It's him. It's him. Only then will I shine. And I will shine as the morning. Me, fallen man, the gospel. Which the angels desire to look into. They don't understand how God has taken fallen man such as you and me and gave himself on the cross for us. Why? They don't understand it. They desire to look into those things. And we're the beneficiaries of it, and we can discard it so easily as if it means nothing to us. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be your rearward. He will shine in us. He will be with us. He will demonstrate all of the works. It's him. He will do these things. Why? Because I love him. And he says, then shalt thou call. Now he says, now you're going to call. Now you're going to pray to me, and the Lord shall answer. And you're going to cry, and he will say, here I am. I hear you. I hear your cry. I hear your prayer. I'm with you. When? When? He tells us, when you put away the bands of wickedness, when you loose them, the bands of wickedness, loose them. That burden, that weight that doth so easily beset us, that we cannot run a race with the weight on us. We cannot. We might think we can, and we might go and go and go. We're going to collapse. We cannot run a race with any weight upon us. We will not win it. You will not win the race with. And so he says, loose those bands of wickedness. You know what is wickedness. You know the gossip when you leave here is wickedness. You know that putting down your brother or sister is wickedness. You know that. He said, loose those things. Get rid of them. You know that a hunger and a thirst for self, for showing you how good I am and what, you know, Ananias and Sapphira did it in a way in which they, look at what they did. They gave a great contribution to the church. They sold land. They gave, we don't know how much of it, but they gave a great contribution to the church. Look at me. It was rejected. You see, dear ones, that's what Paul is saying. It doesn't matter what you give. Do you love? Do you love? Because when you love, you're not even going to know what you gave. And you don't look for to be praised by man. God is your reward. You have him. He gives more of himself to you. More grace. More grace every day. More mercy. You need it. I need it. Who doesn't need his mercy? And so he says, I will then, then shalt thou call and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Thy darkness is going to be like the noonday. In other words, we've been born again. We are new creatures. We are completely new in Christ. There is no darkness in us. It's like the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee. Sometimes, most of the time, it says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. No break, no stopping. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Jesus says, I am that water. I am that spring. Drink of me. I will never fail you. Never. But drink of me. Take this water. Take me. Take me. And he speaks here of what the true observance of the Sabbath, or of what it means to really for us to enter into his rest. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own it. Is this only on the Sabbath day? This is what it means to enter into his Sabbath, or into his rest, as Hebrews say. Not finding thine own pleasure, not speaking thine own word. Don't give me your opinions of what it means. I think it means that. Don't tell me that. I don't care. And you don't care what I think, right? We only care what God says. If we know what God says, that's what gives us life. That's what revealed, that's the revealed truth unto us, Jesus Christ. He says, not doing your own ways, then you're going to honor him. Then. Again, that's the giving of entirety of our hearts as we prayed. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Who said this? God said it. Do you doubt it? You doubt God. God said it. It's for us to believe and to love and serve. And then the blessings of life follow. And you know, how dare we think that my blessings are my riches? So am I saying then that my dear old sister, who's passed away, a sister in the Lord, who barely survived, but never asked for anything from anyone, didn't want to, was thankful for the sufficiency that she had. Am I saying that God never looked down upon her and blessed her? Because he's blessed me and I can live in such a manner that she never could have? Is God not pleased with her? Is that where we're going to go with this? The blessings of the Lord come and are felt in a heart that has been purified by his blood, who has loosed the bands of wickedness, who is basking in the light and is the light through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Pharisees loved Saul, the Pharisee. They loved him. And they hated Paul, the apostle. What does that tell us? What Jesus said, they have hated me. They will hate you also. Don't look for anything else. They hated me. They're going to hate you. They loved Saul. They hated Paul. In essence, they hated Jesus. Dear ones, if we don't do his will, and if we know over and over again, and we say he's going to overlook us, we are making mockery of his law, of his holiness, and of his mercy and his love. But no, the Lord has spoken. If we put away those things, he will bless us. And we will know when we are blessed by him. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.